Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening, Michael Cohen, producer Andre Holgate. It is Monday, August 13th. Another rainy day in August, certainly turning out to be a very different month than last month. Well, let's get right into it today. You know, depending on who you ask, this weekend's announcement by Mitt Romney that Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan is his Republican vice presidential running mate, it was either a daring and defining choice that will ignite the Republican vote or one that will cost him the election. To try to get a better idea of what the impact of this choice will likely be, I'm joined by Laura M. Brown, a political science professor at Villanova University, author of Jockeying for the American Presidency, and a regular contributor to the U.S. News and World Report. Laura, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Oh, it's great to be on.
So as a political science professor, do you try to maintain a certain level of independence and neutrality when you are evaluating the two parties and campaigns, or do you have a particular political leaning?
Well, I actually jokingly refer to myself as a flaming moderate. And quite frankly, I am really interested much more in the analysis of why things happen than I am in the advocacy of any one position or platform or candidate.
Well, one Republican analyst said that Romney really tied up several key voting blocks, the middle class voters and Tea Partiers. And with choosing Ryan, this election now is a choice and not just a referendum. How do you see the Ryan choice defining Mitt Romney?
Well, I think what's really important for Mitt Romney is that he really did actually make a courageous choice. I mean, this is something that his top advisors were sort of saying, no, you don't want to bring in this conversation. And I think when you look at sort of the overall shape of the race, a lot of people have said this, but it's true. This is going to create a more ideological race. There's going to be more real substantive debate. As a political scientist, I'm thrilled because we're actually going to talk about issues and not sort of all the silly character attacks we've had this summer. So I think that there are a lot of ways that this race changes with Ryan.
Although, does the discussion now focus primarily on Medicare and Social Security?
Well, it certainly will, lean toward a discussion of entitlement reforms, have a conversation about Medicare and Social Security. But we were already going to be talking about Obamacare. So I can't imagine that there isn't, if you will, essentially already a debate teed up around these kinds of issues.
Do you think American voters are really ready to confront these long and large issues of Medicare and Social Security and their unsustainability?
I don't know that they are. I think when you look, in every time it's ever come up, it hurts the politicians who try to raise it. But that being said, you know, when you look at the situation we're in with over $15 trillion in debt, with $1 trillion-plus deficits, with sort of the entitlements going to be essentially crashing and burning in the not-too-distant future, 25 years, at some point we actually do need to have this conversation.
I'm talking to Laura Brown, a political science professor at Villanova University, author of Jockeying for the American Presidency. Where does that leave the president and his campaign now? Because is he simply going to be able to try to scare seniors into not voting for the Romney-Ryan ticket, or will he have to somehow address the issue other than saying we need to maintain the status quo?
Well, I think what you're going to see is both sides sort of putting out sort of their largest guns at each other, and that means for the Democrats, they're going to be saying, you know, that Ryan and Romney are just can't wait to sort of cut all of these entitlements and take away everything from you, and the Republicans are going to return fire and say, yeah, but Obama promised to have the deficit and get us on a track to a balanced budget. He's come nowhere close. So we're going to have, again, right, this back and forth. And how it turns out is really up to the American people. But I think what you're going to see is many more people getting engaged now because the issues are going to be much more serious.
There was a lot of talk about a potential female running mate. Several governors, Condoleezza Rice was discussed. How do you see the Ryan choice impacting the woman vote, which, you know, Romney is now behind the president on and doesn't need to pick up?
Well, you know, you have to really look at this in a way that I don't think people do, which is that women are 51% of the electorate, and they certainly don't all agree. More women than men have long supported essentially greater governmental involvement and sort of more spending on social issues. That being said, you know, we'll see, because since 2008, since Sarah Palin was nominated as the Republicans' vice president, we've seen many more conservative women on the heels of the Tea Party and with Tea Party support winning public office. So, you know, at this point, there has been a gender gap that has favored Democrats because women vote their party before they vote gender. And we'll see sort of how narrow that gap is as the election nears.
Do you think choosing Ryan is in many ways defining Mitt Romney now for voters, or is he likely to not become a central figure as the campaign goes on?
Well, I think I wrote this for a Politico piece last weekend, but I basically said, you know, the one thing that it does is it takes away the etch-a-sketch kind of character of Romney, the sense that he is sort of anything to everyone. And what you see now is he's basically put himself behind the Ryan budget. He said, look, I'm basically in charge, but I fully support this guy, and that's why he's on the ticket with me.
Now, you've closely studied efforts for those from those hoping to become a president. You've written this book, Jockeying for the American Presidency. When you go for this kind of a vice presidential choice, going to the heart of your base rather than trying to pander to the middle, does that typically work out?
Well, what you see is this is a function of the fact that we now have a very polarized electorate. I mean, you can see this consistently in every poll. It almost doesn't matter what the fundamentals are. Your partisan affiliation really determines your view much more than the other way around. And we haven't had that in the past. In fact, when you look to other competitive elections, like the ones between Grover Cleveland and Benjamin Harrison in the 1880s, what you actually saw was that both candidates ran toward the middle because that's where the voters were. The voters don't exist in the middle anymore, and that's why everyone's running toward the base.
And you imagine then Romney and Ryan then standing firm even when I'm sure we'll see ads that are going to attempt to worry seniors who are obviously a big part of the vote.
Yeah, I mean, where this is a tough sort of messaging on the Romney camp side is that certainly the Republicans are winning the older demographics. They've been winning sort of the white senior conservative demographics in these swing states. And if they turn against them, this could hurt them in a place like Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, where there are high numbers of seniors.
When you look at the ticket, when it comes to Republican voters, does this have the same inspirational qualities that the Obama-Biden ticket had for Democrats in 2008?
Well, let's face it, right? Obama was the rock star in 2008, and I think Ryan's the rock star this time around. So, you know, whether or not it works out for Romney and Ryan the way that they are hoping is, again, right, anybody's guess, because we have such a polarized electorate. There are very few people who actually have yet to make a decision. Most of the polls are split somewhere around 47-47. And what does that mean? It means that the people who haven't decided, they're going to decide during the debates, and that's where this is really going to matter.
Yeah, Democrats, of course, already attacking the Obama campaign manager, stating Ryan rubber-stamped the reckless Bush economic policies that exploded our deficit and crashed our economy. Do you think this kind of approach of looking back to the Bush era, to Ryan's actions when President Bush was running the show, is that really going to be effective?
Well, let's face it. From the day that President Obama announced his campaign theme, which was forward, that meant that he was going to characterize any Republican campaign as being going back to Bush. So I think what you can see here is that this is kind of to be expected rhetoric.
And Joe Biden, he probably is getting a little nervous about facing off in a debate with Mr. Ryan, I'm guessing.
Well, I think it will be interesting. It'll especially be interesting to see how much sort of they focus on foreign policy issues or domestic policy, because obviously Biden had long had a distinguished career in sort of on foreign policy when he was in the Senate before he became VP.
Interesting, too. Rinda is a fairly strong social conservative, but that does not really come up. It certainly doesn't bring a lot of attention to that. Do you think that that aspect of his vote will be in play at all?
Well, again, I'm sure all of this is going to come up in the partisan rhetoric. I'm sure the, quote, war on women will be revived, and sort of the discussion, too, about the fact that the Democratic Party platform is now going to essentially endorse gay marriage, and it did not do that before. The contrast with the Republicans will likely be stark. But this is an election that's about the economy, and it's now going to be about really our fiscal future, and we're going to have a choice election, which was not something that many observers believed we were going to have.
One last thing. With John McCain choosing Sarah Palin, do you think that played a role in Mitt Romney's decision to A, not choose a female candidate as some thought he would, and B, choosing someone who's well-known and whose ideas are well-known?
Well, unfortunately, both Geraldine Ferraro and Sarah Palin were essentially Hail Mary passes of losing tickets. And, they essentially also took the blame for the fact that those tickets were losing and they lost. You have not seen a Democrat pick a woman since, and I doubt that you will see a Republican pick a woman for quite some time. If a woman wants to make it to the White House, she's probably going to have to make it through the nomination process on her own.
Villanova University political science professor Laura Brown, author of Jockeying for the American Presidency. Laura, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Thank you so much.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about Paul Ryan. We're going to look at what he's been doing in the 1st District in Wisconsin. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.